From Ridgeway to Erie, York to Clearfield, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, a budget battle, state constitutional amendments, and judicial elections are all on tap for 2021. Leo Knepper from the Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania is here to talk politics and policy. Quest is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping individuals acquire vocational and life skills. Joe Geiger from the First Nonprofit Foundation has Verna Morris of Quest in the Community Benefit Spotlight. And healthcare, economic recovery, and continued criminal justice reforms are on Americans for Prosperity's legislative wish list. Ashley Klingensmith is here with this week's Lincoln Radio Journal commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to Leo Knepper from the Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. Nearly one in three Pennsylvania businesses closed due to a government mandate, substantially higher than the U.S. private sector average, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Center Square reports 30.4% of Pennsylvania businesses have closed due to government mandates. That ranks us higher than all of our bordering states, including New York. Worse, nearly 56% of Pennsylvania businesses saw a drop in demand for their products or services. Only 12% saw an increase. The city of Philadelphia has decimated the restaurant industry with a draconian ban on all indoor dining. That has now changed as the city will allow restaurants to operate at up to 25% of capacity. There will also be limits on how many people can sit at a table. Earlier this month, the statewide ban on indoor dining expired. Health officials, however, still have not provided any statistics or relevant information to justify those closures. The final 2020 state Senate race has been resolved after a federal court judge refused to rule ineligible a batch of Allegheny County mail-in ballots whose cover lacked a signature as required by state law. The decision has resulted in a 69-vote victory margin for State Senator Jim Brewster. Senate Republican leaders had refused to swear in Brewster until the court rendered its decision. Following a concession by challenger Nicole Ziccarelli, Brewster was sworn into office for a new term. Despite the decision, Republicans maintained control of the chamber, holding 28 seats to 21 for the Democrats and one independent. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Important statewide judicial elections, two potential voter referendums on state constitutional amendments, and a legislative budget battle will be making news headlines in 2021. Here with details on both politics and policy is Leo Knepper. Leo is the Chief Executive Officer of the Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania. Leo, welcome back to Lincoln Radio Journal. Leo, a new session of the Pennsylvania General Assembly has gotten underway. A lot of leftover items of business remain, including what could be a very contentious state budget process this year. I'd like to have your thoughts on the budget process and other key legislation.
In order to get a good picture of this year's budget, we have to take a look at what happened last year. Last year was obviously, 2020 is just kind of something everybody would just like to leave in the rearview mirror. However, when it came to the budget process, the budget was actually split in half. Part of the budget was passed, a partial year budget was passed in May, and then they came back and passed the budget for the rest of the year towards the beginning of November, I believe. And what happened with the budget was they actually used quite a bit of one-time revenue sources in order to balance it, I mean, quote-unquote, balance it. And the largest, one-time source and the one that's kind of the biggest concern was they took over $1 billion from the CARES Act and actually used that to plug a hole and pay the Department of Corrections. So I think it was close to a $1.5 billion in that neck of the woods. So a fairly substantial amount of money. And your listeners will probably recall during the Corbett administration, the Democrats waylaid him for cutting billions of dollars from education spending when, in fact, he had just allowed federal funding to lapse and not replaced it with state funding. Well, we're in the same situation now, and actually an even worse situation because the General Assembly has been loath to actually cut any meaningful spending, and it's just kind of gone on autopilot. So we're going to have a fairly large hole that's going to need to be filled. And there's only a couple of ways that they can get rid of a hole. They can cut spending, which generally doesn't happen. They can take on debt, which we prefer them not to do, or they can raise taxes. What they've done or have had the habit of doing rather than raising income taxes or, you know, the broader base taxes is they've targeted specific sectors or just raised fees in certain places, but they're really getting to the point where they can't. They're running out of nickel and dimes. So they're going to have some serious problems that they need to deal with.
Looking ahead legislatively, aside from the budget, are there any other priorities the Citizens Alliance is going to be tracking this year?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I guess first and foremost would be two proposed constitutional amendments that we're watching. One, the First Amendment is related to the governor's emergency authority. The governor at this point has the ability to declare an emergency and then reissue the emergency declaration however many times he wants. There's basically no limit on how long we can stay in a state of emergency, which is one of the things we've seen with the COVID situation. We've also seen that on a much more limited scale, he's undergone the same process with the opioid addiction emergency declaration that he had started over, I think it was over a year and a half ago at this point. So what the constitutional amendment will do is it will require, after a 21-day period, the General Assembly to approve any extension of the emergency declaration. So it recreates or rebalances the balance of powers between the General Assembly and the governor's office. And this was the result of a Supreme Court decision, which basically said despite the language in the emergency declaration law, the General Assembly doesn't have the ability to end a emergency declaration without the governor's approval. For folks who aren't aware of the process, what has to happen is a proposed constitutional amendment has to be passed in two successive sessions, and then it's put on the ballot. So it was passed, this particular amendment was passed by the legislature last session. They'll have to pass it again this session, and then hopefully it'll be on the ballot by primary elections by May. The second constitutional amendment, proposed amendment that we're watching is a change to how the judiciary is structured. Currently, the Supreme Court is dominated by attorneys who practice in either Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, essentially. The way that this legislation would work and the way that this proposed amendment would change things is it would actually create almost like a circuit system. Well, I guess more like a district system, where the state would be divvied up into districts, and an attorney from each of those districts would be elected to the Supreme Court. Specifically, the Supreme Court is the one that's of the most interest. Then you're getting a different kind of diversity in that way. You're getting a geographic diversity as opposed to a diversity of where we're just looking at someone's gender or race. We're actually going to get, you know, some viewpoint diversity.
We are talking with Leo Knepper, who is CEO of the Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania. And let's switch gears just a little bit. You did just reference these very important court seats. Courts, appellate courts in Pennsylvania, currently elected statewide, unless the amendment that you just referenced does pass in a referendum and changes it going forward. But for 2021, these seats will be elected statewide. Tell us what's up this year on these courts and why should people be concerned about that?
Let's start with the why people should be concerned about it first. One of the things that folks have seen as I just mentioned, the Supreme Court decided that the legislature really doesn't have the ability to end an emergency declaration without the governor's approval. We also saw that the Supreme Court a couple of years ago took on the authority to draw its own congressional districts. And then this election cycle, we saw the Supreme Court decide that they could unilaterally declare folks would have an additional 3 days for their ballots to arrive if they mailed in their ballots. So the Supreme Court has essentially become a super legislature, and there's really not a lot of options once they make a decision. That's kind of the way it's going to be unless you change the Constitution or there's a federal issue that needs to be decided. And then the other courts, the Superior and the Commonwealth Court, feed into that system. Feed into the Supreme Court. Not every decision that's made at the Superior Court or the Commonwealth Court is appealed to the Supreme Court. So those courts are equally important. We saw in the last iteration of the governor's shutdown orders, a number of restaurants and other employers took a suit to the Commonwealth Court and decided that the Commonwealth Court decided that the governor essentially had the ability to shut them down a second time. There is one Supreme Court seat. Chief Justice Saylor is retiring. He's reached a mandatory retirement age, so his seat will be up. He is one of two Republicans who currently sit on the Supreme Court. There will be one seat on the Superior Court that is up and two seats on the Commonwealth Court.
Well, it's never dull in Pennsylvania. We have been talking with Leo Knepper from the Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania. Leo, give us a couple words about the Citizens Alliance and where can folks go to learn more?
The Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania is essentially an accountability mechanism. What we do is we take a look at what folks are doing in Harrisburg as it relates to free market policies and economic issues. And then the accountability comes in because we have the ability through our political action committee to get involved in elections. So we'll select races and support primary challengers in general and primary elections. So we play an important role in trying to keep people on track, trying to keep folks on track and doing what's best for the Commonwealth. If you or listeners would like to learn more about us, our website is www.empowerpa.org. We have some links on there to a scorecard that we keep, our accountability index for the legislature, as well as we have a very active group on Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg still hasn't shut us down, so we have the ability to have some really good conversations with people there as well.
Leo Knepper from the Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania. Leo, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Loman.
Helping to provide life skills and vocational training to people with disabilities is the mission of Quest, Inc. Joe Geiger from the First Nonprofit Foundation talks with Quest's Executive Director, Verna Morris, on this Community Benefit Spotlight.
Thank you, Loman, and thank you, Verna, for being a guest on the Lincoln Radio program.
My pleasure.
Verna, would you share with our listeners a little bit of background about Quest, Inc., the organization that you run?
We are 61 years old, actually, now. So Quest has been around in Lebanon for quite a number of years. It was originally started by a group of families who had children with disabilities, and they were looking for some supports, some services to offer them. And back in those days, the kind of in program was a sheltered workshop program. So Quest originated being a sheltered workshop, which is where individuals came, did piece work at sub-minimum wages to fulfill contracts in the community that were solicited and received. I guess back in the day, Quest had well over 100, 150 individuals in their sheltered workshop when it first started. It was also kind of like a one-stop shop. Doctors were on call, dentists, there was a dentist chair here in the building, hairdressers came in, so there was like all sorts of services for people with disabilities. And this was, of course, after people had decided that institutions were not such a wonderful thing. They decided this was like the next best thing. And of course, services in our industry evolve as they have evolved over the last 100 years. So that was looked to be a good thing. Now, through time, that has dissolved, actually. Now the thought of a sheltered workshop is not necessarily the most popular vote in the world. We no longer operate the sheltered workshop portion of what we used to do. About 2 years ago, that was closed. So what we offer now is, again, a hybrid, if you will. We offer more individualized supports for individuals to help them become independent and help them learn how to be more independent in the community, more independent in their lives, lead a more fulfilling life. So it's not about a less than minimum wage paycheck. It's, number one, helping them evolve into possibly a part-time or a full-time job. We offer lots of opportunities for volunteering, for them to learn skills, be part of their community, and learn to interact, you know, with community members, create some of the same relationships that you and I have in our lives.
Share a little bit about the profile of what a client looks like. They have vocational, life skill challenges, disabilities.
Absolutely, yes. As we work with every adult. We work with adults over 18 in our programs. They all have a disability of some sort. It could be an intellectual disability, a person with a mental health challenge, a physical disability. We work with hearing impaired, deaf, and blind individuals. So every disability group, any sort of physical disability, using a wheelchair, maybe they have a dual diagnosis of a variety. So, yes, any and every disability we work with. And
we talk about moving these people towards independence, and I always like to do a clarification when I'm speaking with audiences about people who are physically challenged and emotionally challenged, educationally challenged. When we talk about independence, I want to point out that none of us are independent. None of us today are growing our own food, sewing our own clothing, building our own cars, building our own homes. We're all dependent to a certain point. So that's the degree of independence that we want to move these people towards. Is there like a level that you strive for?
No, it's all totally individual, according to the individual, of course. We're trying to help them, to coin a phrase from the Army, it's help them be all they can be. And I don't think anyone ever arrives. We all change. We all have different interests in our lives. At age 30, it might look different than it did at 60. So that's going to be the same for some. They're just people first. It's a person first.
Yes.
They have additional challenges to meet some of their goals and things that they'd like to do in their lives. And if they say they want to be a doctor, chances are that's not going to be achievable. But what is it about being a doctor that is interesting to them? Maybe they like wearing scrubs. Maybe they like some other form of why being a doctor is interesting to them. And maybe we can help guide them to some sort of meaningful activity around that industry.
This is Joe Geiger in the Lincoln Radio Program, and my guest today is Verna Morris. Verna is the executive director of Quest, Inc. in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. As I say that, Verna, what is the territory for you and your organization?
It's mainly Lebanon, but we also work the surrounding counties. We've done work in Harrisburg, Schuylkill County, Berks County, Lancaster County, so surrounding counties.
And what would you like listeners to this program to know about your needs and the services that you provide?
Our needs as an agency, well, right now, of course, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so we're probably looks a little different than it normally would. Right now, we have evolved into providing a lot of virtual services for individuals. We're teaching them how to use iPads, how to use laptop computers, any sort of device that they may have, but we're also trying to help them acquire devices. There is one place where they can borrow a device for a month, but our needs would be certainly devices for them to help utilize the virtual opportunities that we're providing. And in the past, we always said vehicles, because our staff individually, one-on-one, or with groups of three into the community, and we've got maybe half a dozen vehicles here and a lot more staff than that, so they end up using their own vehicles for working here for the most part. So anytime we can solicit to individuals that if they have a car they're looking to sell, give us a call, we may be interested for something like that. But right now it's really turning the tide in terms of doing more virtual opportunities. Right now the group just got off of a Zoom call that we started up doing. So it's nice to keep them still interacted even though they can't come into our building to be part of a group program at this point in time, because the county is shut down in regards to that because of the spread. If it gets lower, if it gets under 10%, we can open up that one program again, but we cannot at this point in time. So we're we're doing everything we can, either one-on-one with individuals who would like that service, doing something things in the community, and then virtual services. But we are still supporting people in employment in the community as well. They have jobs. We're supporting them with our job coaches. And we have a janitorial services program. We do a lot of work in the community with our janitorial crews, and that's an essential service, and we're still out there doing that.
When I was on your website, Verna, I noticed that Representative Frank Ryan stopped in a number of times to recognize what you're doing. Tell us about Frank.
He's a great supporter of people with disabilities and everything that we do, and just about every kind of opportunity he has, he has been very visible with us. Yes, we appreciate that support.
So how can people who are listening to this program help? I know that organizations need money. How about volunteering or providing?
Yes, actually, we do have an opportunity. As I was talking about the virtual opportunities, the things that we're doing virtually, we're setting up a schedule, like a two-week schedule of activities to do with individuals who are interested. And we've set up some, like a couple of yoga classes. We've set up some fun and games, some craft opportunities. But if people have particular interest, a particular skill that they would like to share with someone, I mean, maybe someone would be interested in heading up a how to knit session. Maybe someone would be interested in setting up something else that they have a real, you know, maybe they're passionate about birds and they have half a dozen birds in their house, unusual birds that they'd like to share with us, information about their birds. Maybe they're a fireman and they'd like to take us into their fire hall and show us their fire truck. So we'd love to have guests on all of our virtual things so that they're not just looking at their staff members that they see every day.
This is Joe Geiger in the Lincoln Radio Program, and my guest today has been Verna Morris, the Executive Director for Quest, Inc. in Lebanon County. Verna, thank you for being a guest on the Lincoln Radio Program.
Absolutely.
Back to you, Loman.
Better access to quality health care, helping businesses recover from the COVID-19 shutdown, and more criminal justice reform are goals of Americans for Prosperity as the Pennsylvania General Assembly starts a new session. Here is Ashley Klingensmith with a Lincoln Radio Journal commentary.
The 2021-22 legislative session is underway, with members sworn in, new committee chairs appointed, and committee memberships filled. It's time for the General Assembly to address the issues Pennsylvanians have been calling for over the past decade, but which have become that much more amplified throughout the past year. At Americans for Prosperity, we'll be working to advance a legislative agenda that will enable all Pennsylvanians to unleash their potential by changing our government for the better. First, we must strive for a healthcare system that delivers quality through accessible and affordable care so people can live healthier lives. We also seek to increase the supply of healthcare products and services for patients through the removal of barriers to innovation. By passing scope of practice, we can grant nurse practitioners full practice authority to increase access to healthcare and help relieve provider shortages across the state. Second, we can enact telemedicine legislation that empowers healthcare providers to deliver a wide variety of telehealth services. And we can increase flexibility within the system by making the temporary reforms implemented during COVID-19 permanent for ease of treatment and availability of practitioners. Enacting legislation that permits out-of-state registered nurses to practice in Pennsylvania so they can provide their valuable services when and where they are needed most is also something we'll be pressing the legislature to take up. Second, we must make it easier for Pennsylvanians to provide for their families and to prosper. Look, nearly one in three PA businesses closed to a government-imposed mandate, which proves substantially higher than the U.S. private sector average, according to a Bureau of Labor Statistics survey. Of our neighboring states, the next highest was New York at 25%. We don't need to state the impact of these closures. You need only talk with an employee or proprietor of one of these businesses. But we can talk about what we can do now to accelerate their recovery. We can do better by allowing hardworking Pennsylvanians to keep more of what they earn, attract new families and businesses to our state, and make it easier for our economy to recover even stronger than before. Even during this unprecedented public health and economic challenge, we boast the fourth highest tax burden in the country, and U-Haul's migration growth ranking places us 41st in the nation. How can we change these trajectories? We can lower the tax burden by streamlining and simplifying our tax code to make the Commonwealth more competitive. We can rein in mandatory and discretionary spending to build a stronger PA for generations to come by addressing budget reforms. And we can end unfair taxpayer-funded giveaways to well-connected special interests by rejecting government favoritism and corporate welfare. Third, PA can continue to build off of past criminal justice reform successes like clean slate and auto expungement, which were nearly unanimously supported, and consider additional measures to ensure the goal of our justice system is met here in PA, which is keeping our communities safe. Legislators can support this goal by adopting policies that ensure individuals with criminal records are rehabilitating using much more cost-effective alternatives to incarceration and fostering better relationships between police and the communities they serve. We can consider probation reform and geriatric parole. Low-level nonviolent offenders should be provided community supervision terms as an alternative to incarceration to reduce prison populations. This will save taxpayer money and ensure more individuals achieve that complete rehabilitation. And we must equip our law enforcement leaders to transform police culture by ensuring that officers who practice effective policing set the standard and that good policing does not go unnoticed by the community. This can be accomplished by incorporating community policing practices into efforts to maintain public safety. Let's all commit to playing a part in advocating for the policies that will help every person rise. I'm Ashley Klingensmith, State Director with Americans for Prosperity. You can find us on Facebook by searching at PAAFP and on Twitter by searching at AFP Pennsylvania.
If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our website, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 26 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WRDV-FM in Warminster, WRNN-FM and WNAE-FM in Warren, along with WCHE-AM in Westchester, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, and the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania. Thank you.
We'll be right back.